You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera alongside co-host Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Jay, we've had a lot of things going on in the last 24 to 30 hours. Has anything surprised you to this point over the last 30 hours?
No, I guess I have to say no.
You're in the same boat as Sean Miller.
Right. Right,
he exactly. He came out with a statement
that he wasn't surprised that that the basketball season basically got cut in half.
Right,
is what we're saying. Right,
right.
That all the games pre-January have been
none of those cupcakes.
Cut out of the
none
schedule.
Of those cupcakes.
Well, yeah, but there's also Gonzaga in there and a couple others. So, but you know, with a team that he's got, you know, I think you were wanting to play those games.
Yeah, you need time.
You know, this team's got to get put together, and that it was going to be valuable time for him.
So what he said, he was not surprised by the move, but are you surprised what he said?
No, here's why. Because I think the U of A has done a really good job of communicating with each other.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're communicating with us from the standpoint of, you know, things that are going on to get, you know, kids back to school. And, you know, Dave Hickey's been on our show a couple of times. President Robbins came on yesterday. I think they're kind of keeping people in the loop. Then when you hear that the USC athletic director, not just a coach, the athletic director said he was surprised by the decision to cut out the pre-January basketball games. You kind of wonder, you know, what's going on in different places.
Right.
But, I think they would have had to let Sean know that this was, you know, that this was happening.
Sure, sure. I think that we've talked about it two or three times on the show.
What else could have happened? It was going to happen,
sure,
right?
Sure, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we had talked to a number of people who said it doesn't look like basketball is going to be played until January. So if the USC AD was surprised, then I got to wonder where he's been.
Right. Or he just, you know, needed to say that.
I mean, he's a new guy and stuff like that, but you still got to have an idea what's going on over there. You know, is there not communication going on with your president or what's the deal?
Sure. Or the basketball coach, because apparently the basketball coach knew.
So, I don't know. I just think it's been, this whole thing, you know, you're just finding out a lot of stuff about a lot of people and about a lot of programs and how they work.
Right.
And it's really been, you know, it's kind of like the blanket's been thrown back off everybody, and it's kind of like, okay, we're getting to,
and the wizard is not what the wizard looks like.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. We're getting to look behind the curtain,
and the wizard is overweight and out of shape. Hey, so let me tell you, you've been in the business a while. I've been in the business longer than I like to say, but there's always more to the story.
Right,
you know there is. Some of it doesn't, from your notebook to the paper, doesn't get published.
Right,
some things that we say or don't say purposely.
Right.
Not said. So you think there's more to the story with all this? How does the West cancel and the East not cancel?
I think this is about to tell us a lot about people's priorities. And I said this yesterday, not to be hoity-toity about it, you know, about the schools out here.
Uppity.
And uppity, but, you know, and the point was made in one of John Wilner's columns. The Big Ten and the Pac-12 have the best academics of all the Power Five conferences as a whole.
Uh-huh.
And that you judge that by membership in this, I think it's called the American Association of Universities or something, which is a very prestigious organization that sort of, you know, rates the schools. You have to have certain levels of research and education and all those things, all these pieces that determine what's a good school. 13 of the 14 Big Ten schools are in it. 9 of the 12 Pac-12 schools are in it. 5 ACC schools, 4 Big 12 schools, and 3 SEC schools are a member of this organization. What that tells me is, and with all due respect to anybody from any of those leagues, is that there are smarter people at Big Ten and the Pac-12. And I'm just going to say that. And, you know, when I say that, you know, the University of Arizona president is also a heart surgeon, you've got a school like Stanford that none of the other leagues can match for in terms of academics. I'm going to hang with the guys who I think are a little smarter.
Sure, sure. If you want to call in and disagree, 790-2040.
Yeah, I know one guy out there, a former boss of mine, who's ready to punch me in the face over that statement because he's from Alabama.
And he
pretty strongly believes that they should be playing football.
Yeah.
But again, as I said to a Twitter follower last night, I'm going to listen to the heart surgeon.
Sure, sure. If you're going to go to a guy who knows the ponies, you're going to bet with the guy with the pony's nose.
Right. Right. And I'm going with the heart surgeon. We had him on our show yesterday, Dr. Robbins. The podcast is up on our website. And
I made some news today, which is good.
By the time we got to the end of that, I completely understood why they did what they did.
I'll tease you when Dave Hickey comes on. But yeah, you were disappointed. I mean, come on, you're a big fan. You want to see football. You love football, tailgating specifically.
Right.
The fanfare and all that.
This feels awful.
Yeah.
This feels awful. I was trying to figure out what it feels like. And today feels like the day after a loss to Arizona State in football.
Really?
That's how bad it feels.
Wow.
And I'm telling you that I it's hard for me to explain how that is around my house.
Yeah.
But I'm just telling you, that's a bad, bad feeling.
Mopey.
And for those of you who have been huge basketball fans, a loss to ASU in football feels worse than any NCAA tournament, basketball tournament loss.
Yeah. In fact, I was with my mom today. She says to me, "So what are you going to do? No sports?" I'm thinking, enjoy my life. It's the first time since I've ever moved here 33 years ago that I won't have anything to do in the fall.
I know, but I want something to do.
I might go take a hike or something.
I picked up this gig back on May 1st thinking we were going to be having lots of fun by now, Steve.
We are having fun.
You know, what'd you get me into over here?
The funny thing is we kind of don't talk about sports, which is fine because we have great guests like the one we're going to have now. Very informative. We're going to talk about the future, obviously, of what's going to happen because they have a lot of stuff to do, a lot of work to do.
And don't get me wrong, Steve, I'm having fun with you. This is fun. I look forward to coming in here every day. But it sure would be nice if we were just a few weeks away from talking about, you know, a college football season.
The next game.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Would you mean to tell the bubble at the NBA is not good enough for you?
Yeah. You know, I'm going to try real hard not to give, you know, Dave a hard time because I know I believe they made the right decision. But, you know, I want to find out from Dave Hickey, what now?
You know, that's the next question.
What now for athletics?
Sure.
You know, we got the lowdown yesterday on how they made this decision, why and what went into it. From Dave, I wanted, okay, Dave, you know, what's it look like for, you know, I'm Joe Fan over here. You know, I'm season ticket holder. I go to all the basketball games. I love going to High Corbett for baseball. When I can get into a softball game, I go to a softball game. What now for everybody?
You know he's getting it from both sides or all sides, fans,
right?
Students.
Players, athletes.
Players, right. Just so many ways. These guys are not the most popular people right now.
Well, I think you have to be confident in the decision you made.
No question.
The decision's been made. I know there's a lot of national people saying, you know, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten screwed this up because these other schools are going to play. Well, let's see if they're saying that a month into the season and there's all these outbreaks of COVID on some of these teams.
I know a lot of Facebook relationships are great in the first week. They're not there at the end of the month, baby.
I'll be interested to see. I mean, I'll watch their football. If those conferences are playing, I'm watching.
Let's take a break before Tom yells at me about relationships on Facebook. Here on 1030 The Voice.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized by Forbes as one of Arizona's best credit unions 3 years in a row. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer low rates on loans, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit hughesfcu.org/best. Certain restrictions apply, insured by NCUA.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Camille Rivas Rutherford with Coldwell Banker Realty has been one of the top producing real estate agents in Tucson, Oro Valley, Marana, and Vail for more than 20 years. Let her help you find your dream home in southern Arizona. Her passion and enthusiasm for real estate has helped her become one of the most respected and trusted realtors in the area. And she was recently named a recipient of Coldwell Banker's 2019 International President Circle Award. Camille's approach to sales and marketing and selling or buying a home is second to none. Give her a call at 520-250-5192.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside co-host Jay Gonzalez. And we're waiting for Dave Hickey in September. Are we waiting for September? We're waiting for January.
Oh, man. Yeah, you know. September's not going to be as much fun as we thought it was going to be. Is it?
No one will be more affected than Dave Hickey, who's on the line now, the AD at U of A. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. Good to be with you tonight.
What in the world? Yesterday must have been crazy, but we want to kind of know what's next on the agenda now that you got that out of the way, at least for the next 4 months. What's next?
Hey, we take it a day at a time. You know, we just keep moving ahead. It's 2020 has been an interesting year, that's for sure. I think we're all going to look forward to putting this one in the archives and starting to move forward. So, but I think, you know, the vote yesterday and our direction as a conference gives us something to look forward to and to begin to plan around and to begin to work towards. There's just, you know, there are just so many moving parts. I'm sure we'll talk about that, different things, national perspectives, all of that that's going on. But you know, we know where we stand now, and we're gonna build an outstanding environment for our student athletes and get them ready for the spring. I think gives us a good chance to pause and really learn some more things and be prepared. So when we do turn into next year, that we're ready to go.
Wait, Dave, was there? I mean, once the decision was made, you said, "Okay, it's done." Was there any level of relief that you kind of have a better sense of the picture, you know, in front of you? And you know how those things are. I mean, sometimes you know bad things coming when it finally happens and it's done. Okay, now let's move on to the next thing. I mean, was there any of that with you?
Well, I think it's. It wasn't instant relief for me. I think, yes, you have to move on. You have to accept things and begin to move on. For me, it's just to have gone through some of this in the spring with our student athletes, the uncertainty when we had to shut down in March, you know, take away their season, don't have answers for them right away when they want to know about their eligibility. When are we going to play? Can I play for a championship? I mean, for me, it was gut-wrenching. You can see the train coming a little bit, but you can't really do anything, and you know it's going to hurt when it gets there, and it did, and it still hurts for me because I just feel really bad for our student athletes and our coaches that work so hard and our staff, quite frankly. You know, we've been working at this thing for 5 months to get ready to go, and then it's, you know, more delay. So that was hard, but I will say that's what we have, and we're ready for it. I think it gives us some opportunity to get some air and be ready and move forward.
You have more than 500 student athletes. I think you can correct me if I'm wrong. How are they told the news if they hadn't already known, I guess? Do you get them all? How does that work?
Yeah, you know what we've done is we've gone individually, team by team, and talked to them on a Zoom. I've been on those, just trying to share what the decision was, how it came about, what the factors were, why we did it, and then what our commitment is to them as they come back. Because we're full go. We are moving forward. We're bringing our student athletes back. We have, you know, re-entry plans for every team. Today we were giving physicals to our volleyball team and our soccer team. Our football players were still here and they're working out. You know, so we're still moving forward. And other teams kind of through the next several days and weeks as we get, you know, into school, start to come back and report. And so it's a move forward for us. It is definitely all systems go. And with a preparation for January, and I don't like to call it spring, but really January to begin competitions and seasons And boy, we're going to have a lot of events to see and do in the winter and spring, that's for sure.
No sleep for Dave Hickey.
I'm going to cook hot dogs, take tickets, everything.
I'll tell you, the guy that I'm worried about is Brian Jeffries. He's the one that I'm worried about because I just found out he's way older than we thought. And now he's going to be doing some double duty and stuff like that. I'm a little worried about Brian.
I'm glad we can laugh a little bit about it. It's tough, but you're right. Yes, there is some clarity now and some opportunity to move forward, push forward, plan, begin to step this thing out.
So, Dave, as you talked to the athletes, what were some of the questions that they had? What were the primary questions that they had as you were breaking this news to them?
Yeah, and most of them knew, obviously, because the vote had taken place and the media and social media, they get this stuff so quickly now. But to really clarify it with them of how and why we did it. And again, I know you've talked to Dr. Robbins. You've heard this in the media through other outlets. First and foremost, it's about their health and safety, their well-being. We have to make those decisions. These are someone's sons and daughters and, grandsons, granddaughters. This is an important thing, and they've been, those people have entrusted those people's lives with us, and we've got to make the right decisions. I'm fully supportive of that. At the same time, they were concerned. What does it mean for me? When are we going to play? Can we train? Can I come back to campus? What are they going to be like when I go into the facility? Is my eligibility okay? What about scholarships? What happens if they shut down again? When are the championships going to be? All of those kind of things. And then really they want to know about their safety. Tell me more about how you're ensuring that we're safe and what you have. And I'm really proud to say what we have at Arizona is very special. Our testing program, we have led the country in this. The environment for our student athletes is incredibly safe for what they are doing, the workouts that they're going through now. But the protocols we've put in place and the testing is phenomenal. I think what it's about really is taking that next step. And we're just not there to take high-intensity practice, contact, game competition type of stuff. We're not there yet. And that's really what this center's around. We can still lift weights. We can still condition. We can still be involved in some sport activity, but not that real high risk, high contact stuff.
We live in a time where you say yes, the people who want you to say no argue. You say no, the people who say yes who want to argue. This was a no-win situation, no matter what decision you guys would have made, I'm sure. You're probably getting it from all sides, and how is that for you guys?
Well, sure. Anytime you make a real difficult decision, there's people on both sides. And, I think we all know that this pandemic has, in many cases, become politicized, and lots of people have strong opinions of what we should be doing or how we should be doing it. I know we relied on science, good data.
Some people don't believe in that.
Well, there you go. So you get a differing opinion.
Yes,
that's what our country is about. Yeah, it's hard, but again, we go back to, and Dr. Robin and I go back, it's our responsibility to make decisions that are in the best interest of these young men and women and their safety and health.
So, Dave, let me ask you a couple of things, and I don't know if you guys have even gotten to this point since this decision was just made, but as it relates to both football and even basketball, because I think everybody's made the assumption that if basketball can't start until January, that it's going to be conference only. Is there a potential to have any non-conference schedule in either sport, women's basketball as well, or any of the sports, to be able to, since we're going to go in the spring, can seasons be extended? Will March Madness be in April to allow more games and to try and recover some of this the competition first for the athletes, but also some of the revenue that's being lost?
Yeah, and I think those are all great questions and points and things that we're considering right now and have really, quite frankly, considered. We didn't go totally blind in this, knowing that, hey, the spring offers some opportunities. Now we've got to figure out how to layer all of those because it becomes busy. How to develop championships that make sense, and I think it has got a little bit confused. We haven't said we've altered schedules, so to speak, and said we're eliminating non-conference or we're only going to play shortened seasons. We haven't gotten to that point yet.
Okay.
And I think there's a, you know, we would like to play a full basketball season or a season with non-conference games. We think that's really important for the game itself, but, you know, really for the Pac-12 and for Arizona basketball and the brand and the, you know, the national attention, those games with non-conference opponents and cross-conference kind of opponents are really important, you know, key Power Five opponents are really important. So we'll work on that. And that's, you know, to come. I think we can pause and teams can focus on getting ready. How we schedule that out still is going to take some time to work out. But the goal would be to have full seasons to some level, full seasons and have championships.
One of the big things that I've heard in the last couple of days is how in the world can universities have spring football in whatever capacity and then turn around and come back and play 3 months later to start a new season, 3 months, 4 months later, thinking that their main reason is health and safety and all that. What's the thinking behind that?
Well, I think that's an excellent point, and certainly as athletic directors, our coaches, we're all having conversations about that. Our medical teams have talked about that. This really is a two-year season issue now. So we're going to have to look very closely at how we lay out a spring season for football. And believe me, we want to play that. That's our intention in the Pac-12 is to play that. We're going to play a spring football season. And then give the so then that means our summer, our traditional spring obviously is going to be different. Our summer training and workouts would need to be different. And then I think we'd need to look at the fall. Is it feasible to start camp the first week of August or sometimes last week of July, or do we need to push that and maybe start the season, you know, a little bit later,
right,
a week or two? So, not going from what could potentially be January, February, whenever we would start, you go through April, May, and then you're looking right at June and July, and then boom, there you are in August. So you've got to give some downtime and some recovery time. I think it's doable. I do. But we've got to be very cautious and do it the right way and how we schedule it. I don't know if we can have two 12-game
seasons.
Models,
right.
Spring and the fall. So we've got to be cognizant of that, and everyone around the country is having those kind of conversations. But we've got to do that for our other sports as well. You know, here we have soccer, we have volleyball, our cross country athletes. You know, same thing. They're going to roll right back and want to come back at the 1st of August. I don't know if that's reasonable, so we're going to have to look at that real closely.
Real quick, Dave, are you able to stick around after the break?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay,
for sure.
One quick question then. We've got about 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. When did you know that this was going to be the decision? I mean, how far ahead did everybody have a pretty good sense this is what it is?
Well, I think, and we can talk a little bit more, I guess, I think these things have been changing so rapidly, almost day to day, Literally 1 week ago, we were moving forward, doing all the things that we wanted to do, and then it really started to trend. And we really didn't know, I don't think, until the president's officially voted, but I might say 24 hours.
Before that.
Now, again, you could see that train out there coming.
Right.
We were thinking, hey, maybe we can slide over and take the tracks over here, but we never got there.
We'll take the break real quick right now and come back on the other side, talk to more to Dave. Thanks.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll free at 888-881-5765.
Hi, I'm Ron Hess from the Window Depot. You know about our great prices and our biggest inventory on windows and doors. Well, now the Window Depot is the place for all your kitchen cabinets. And that's not all. Now you can get granite countertops at the Window Depot. That's right, we now stock a large variety of prefab granite countertops starting at $116 for a 9-foot section. That's less than Formica. So come into the Window Depot today, because now we have granite.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside co-host Jay Gonzalez. And on the phone, we have UA Athletic Director Dave Hickey. Dave, so on March 12th, I think that was the day, it was surreal for me. I'm sure it was surreal for a lot of people. College basketball was about to end. The next day, I think it was no Pac-12 tournament, no NCAA tournament. That was just a huge moment. How does that compare to yesterday?
Oh, wow. It had a lot of similar feelings to it. And again, much like when we were in Las Vegas, we had completed our first round of the, first game in the tournament. It was cascading so quickly. Things were changing so quickly. And that's kind of how this felt and really how this came together. Things rapidly changed within less than a week's time. And so lots of similarities to it. I think it was disappointing because we thought we were going to come out of this.
Yeah.
We'd been in it for 5 months, and so it was maybe another gut punch that probably hurt a little bit more because it does take some air out of you. But again, we can't sit around and pout or feel sorry for ourselves. We got to keep moving on because we want to allow these young people to have a great experience here.
So in that regard, Dave, let's talk about the fan experience because I'm one of them. there's a lot to do, obviously. So what's the approach? What are the first things you got to do for fans? I saw you put a letter out yesterday, and it basically said mm-hmm. we're going to get back to you. But what's the order of business now for fans who have season ticket money and in their accounts, fans who want to know how much basketball is there going to be, all that kind of stuff. How are you guys going about this? And I'm sure it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff. And I think what's most challenging for us and disappointing is normally we're very, structured, organized, certain with what we're going to do. And we don't have all the answers, but we wanted to, at least communicate the decision's been made and that we are working on those things. We've communicated to our ticket holders, several times about, their options, and those still exist. They can ultimately, if they'd like, you can roll it over to future ticket purchases, make it a complete donation to the program, and help us through this difficult time. Or if they need, we are honoring refunds, but we've got some work to do to plan what the spring will look like, what a basketball schedule will look like, how many games, what the capacities can be, really refine that, and then be able to give. Give folks, some real concrete information so then they can make those decisions. But we're always going to do everything we can to allow our fans to make the decision that is right for them. We respect, the uncertainty and the unknown. And maybe some people's decision to say, I'm gonna sit it out this year. But we haven't heard that a lot. I mean, most people are really craving the opportunity to come back. So we want to try to figure out how to make that happen.
So we had Dr. Robbins on yesterday, he said something that I thought was pretty interesting, I think Jay did too, that he was stayed out of this a little bit. He let you handle everything, is that right? Because he has the school to worry about, how to get these kids back. I guess that's true. How was that? You were deep into this.
Well, yes. I mean, again, the president is certainly, I'm in constant, communication with him and updating him on these issues. But he's like that with all of the different units and areas on campus and the issues that we have going. He has, so many of those, and he's in the midst of trying to keep the team working forward to opening school, to get our students here, to get our students back on campus and to get us going. So, yeah, he can't dedicate 24 hours to this a day, 7 days a week, and that's my job. That's our job as our leadership team and our administrators, and certainly the conference staff, the ADs around the conference. So we try to work through those issues, and then try to provide guidance, counsel, thought to our presidents, recommendations that they can then debate and ask questions about, and then ultimately they'll make the decision. With that, Dr. Robbins is really a special president. He's very engaged, though, and understands the issues. And obviously, we all know he has a passion for the sports world. He understands it. He understands the X's and O's, for full pun intended, I guess, here,
right,
of it. So he can really But yet at the same time, he's putting that into the overall university package of where it needs to fit as well. But I think we work well together, and I think it allows him to be inserted at the right moments and to be fully engaged and know what's going on, but not getting bogged down on issues when he needs to, be very attentive to other things that are important for this university.
Okay, so now it's only been a little over 24 hours since you guys have made this decision. And so
feels
I'm gonna,
like a couple of weeks.
It does. And I told Steve, I said, today feels like the day after a loss to ASU in football. I mean, that's how bad it feels. It's just like an awful feeling. But, you've had 24 hours and only, but now, you got to start planning for post-January, let's call it. What kind of a timeline are you on in terms of figuring out, for instance, if basketball is going to start right at the beginning of January, when do the student athletes, when can they start practicing, when they can be around each other, the other sports? Is that timeline just now starting to be figured out, or have you guys already had that in place?
Well, we've somewhat have it in place. Obviously, we were planning for these student athletes to return to campus, so we're moving forward on that. All the student athletes can, to one level or another, can be involved in athletic activities. It might be just voluntary. It might be 8 hours a week workouts and conditioning. They're all in different stages, and so we follow what currently is in place so that our athletes can be in the building and begin to train and work out. But though, we have, as we've done through this entirety, we have work groups really assigned with experts, administrators, coaches, some retired folks that kind of are involved that can give guidance. Just people around each sport and around each activity, whether that's, how do we reengage the fans and bring that side to it? But yet, okay, we have a basketball work group with our coaches on it, strong administration, ADs, so that we can, continue to plan forward. That has been in motion since we shut down. So now it's a quick pivot. Okay, we've decided on January. How does that work? What are the priorities? And so we're doing that with all of our sports, with volleyball, with soccer, with cross country, with football. Those groups are really active again and working on now these new contingency plans so that we can be ready for the winter, spring, new seasons as we go forward. So a lot of work, but we're not starting from a blank script here. Our basketball work group had talked about what if, and we all talk about what if, and I think I've mentioned here once before, we've had the spring thing out there. It wasn't like now we got to go, oh,
right,
can we do spring? No, we knew that. Now it was we didn't want to get to
that.
We
didn't want to do it.
Kind of resort. Yeah. But we knew we had to be ready and have to be able to pivot and now begin to plan for that.
With all due respect to football, a lot of people love basketball here. You know that. Do you have a lot of foreign kids coming in? Are they all going to be here, in time to start school?
Yeah, that's the thought right now, that they'll all be here, and certainly for the basketball group, they're coming in. We've got several that are here in town, and the rest will be here by the time school starts. That's how we interpret it, and we hope that everything stays right on track. So,
and they start practice. Really, right now, people want to know when will they start practice.
Yeah, and again, I know this is sometimes a little complex or a little strange for people to follow along. Practice, when we talk about practice, official practice, that's when we're into the 20 hours a week,
right,
real practice, full team, coaches coaching, players playing, doing that. That won't start. There's, you only have so many days before your first game. That's kind of how this works. The calendar works back from your first
right
game.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
You get 40 days of practice, so you've got to lay that out. That's real practice. Then before that, you have opportunities for conditioning and weightlifting, weight training, some walkthroughs, some small groups. You can have four at a time. You can be in the gym and shoot and do that. Same with football, same things. So you work through those series, and that's what we're laying out right now,
right,
based on when a new season could start, how we work back from there, and then shortly here, and we need to do that in the next couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Have a calendar for all of these sports.
Yeah, I think we can do that math. We'll figure it out. So,
yeah, no, we can get that done. And
okay,
I think our coaches, we already have an idea.
Question of the day. Question of the day, is your crack stat crew for basketball going to be used, or are we out because you guys, because we're going to be so careful as to not keep old guys like myself and Tom Duddleston off the scorer's table?
Come on, you guys are young guys.
Tom's really old.
We're operationally, we're looking at all of that, and obviously we'd have to do it in a way that we don't even know from a fan perspective. But we can look. We're looking at the NBA models, looking at a lot of different things on how we can put that together and run a game at least with the right kind of social or physical distancing. We don't want to have to put all of those folks off in a room somewhere and watch it on TV and run the stat crew that way. We don't want to do that. But I think we can manage it. I think the crew might still sit courtside.
All right. I've got a 30-year streak, Dave. I've got a 30-year streak going. I can't let that go.
Last time we talked about you needed the hot dogs.
No, and tickets.
Did we have that conversation?
He begs for hot dogs, tickets.
I just said don't mess up the nachos. I love the nachos at the stadium.
That's right.
Dave, thanks a bunch for joining us. We always love having you.
It was great having you, Dave.
Thanks for having me, and we'll get through this. I look forward to talking to you again and giving you updates.
Appreciate it. You were in a lot better mood than I expected you to be, so thanks a whole bunch.
Thanks, Dave.
Hey, we don't have a lot of options. We're going to get through this thing.
Appreciate it. That was Dave Hickey from the U of A Athletic Department, the AD, in fact. Let's take a quick break here on 1030 The Voice.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
With the reopening of the economy, it's back to business for Tucson, and there's never been a better time to advertise. You've probably been considering it for a while, but there's a lot of questions. At 1030 The Voice, we can help you every step of the way, from creating an effective and affordable advertising schedule, to crafting your message, to creating the perfect commercial. With our Addy Award-winning production department, call General Manager Patty Ruiz at 791-7208, and let 1030 The Voice get to work for you.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside co-host Jay Gonzalez. And now on the phone we have Kerry Cecil. How are you, Kerry? We really appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah. Well, it's a little weird. I don't usually sound like Lauren Hutton, but it's been a busy 48 hours.
We were going to say, you must have been crazy busy given what you do, and you can explain what you do, because you're kind of like bouncing all over the world via Zoom, probably.
Yeah, everybody's zooming their lives away, COVID, not just me. I do very... high-level, high-stakes crisis communications and litigation communications for a lot of different entities, from Sony to Comcast to the NCAA to conferences and commissioners and head coaches and all kinds of folks. So it's been a busy time for me on the athletic side of our business, particularly in the college athletic space and multiple variables that have been up in the air due to the pandemic.
Hey,
public
Carrie.
Health crisis.
Hi, Kerry. This is Jay. How are you?
Oh, hi, Jay.
It's been a while.
I missed you at the Sugar Skull.
I hope the Sugar Skulls missed me too. So let me ask you, there's so much going on and the dealing with the media and the communication angle of all of this as it relates to conferences and schools and the NCAA and coaches. But, what has been your overall take in terms of how they're all handling this? You've got such a division of opinions of what's going on, but what's your opinion about the way things have been coming out, I guess is the best way to put it.
Mine is not to question, mine is to execute.
Okay.
I try not to have a whole lot of opinions. I like to say that I'm pandemic plan agnostic. So, everybody is, I feel like it's a reflection of our country, whether it's the protocols are divided based on what people believe to be true. So,
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, but when you see something like, for instance, like, I'll just use an example. And look, I'm a longtime media PR guy as well. The Pac-12, they did their news conference. One of the big points they made in their news conference was this was a unanimous decision. Well, it obviously wasn't unanimous in the Big Ten because as soon as it came out, Nebraska started looking for a place to play. So, I mean, is there an opportunity to work with groups like that to advise them on how to deal with that stuff? And, when you have a Nebraska that, goes off the, off the plan, I mean, how do you help them with that?
Well, who am I helping?
Let's say the Big Ten, because they had a school that just, let's say the Big Ten, because they had a...
Who's writing the check?
Okay, I'm
Nebraska writing the check?
I'm guessing, if you're working for the Big Ten and you've got a rogue school like Nebraska saying, well, we're going to go find somebody to play, I mean, what's your advice to those guys?
I'd take it a step back. So I think that Commissioner Warren, as well as Commissioner Scott, with their institution presidents and the advice of experts, and it wasn't an easy decision. The Big Ten announcement and what we would categorize, off the books is what I would think would be a preliminary polling of voting. Showed a couple different schools, I think Iowa and Nebraska, that were opposed to postponing the season, and that leaked.
It leaked.
And so for 24 to 48 hours, what we saw was the ability of a one-sided, really, depending on how you look at it, uninformed, because they didn't have the information about why decisions were being made, mob on social media, gang up on them. And I had many national journalists say to me, I don't know how they do it. And is the Pac-12 going to follow and all those types of things. So helping them would have been maybe coming out swinging a little bit stronger from the get-go about the health and safety rationale, the information, particularly in the Big Ten, about myocarditis and their experience with that. And, let's, not forget that the Northwestern football coach, who was a Big Ten Coach of the Year in 2020, Randy Walker, died at 52 years old after having myocarditis for 2 years. So you have, Maryland, who lost a student athlete on their campus. So you have people that are, really understand the health and safety issues when it comes to student athletes and coaches and staff. So, I think I would have come out swinging a little stronger, and I would have come out earlier. I think they just waited too long. And now it's really, you're seeing some schools get in line, and it's not, like when Mr. Delaney was there, where he may have been a little bit more aggressive with the schools like Nebraska, and what they can and cannot do. And about playing outside the conference, it's all in the fine print, the devil's in the details, as they say. But there's reasons those contracts and those $50 million in TV money. So we'll see what happens.
Right, right. Well, you have two of the Big Five out now, as of yesterday. Three others still out there trying to hold against hope. You think there could be a 5-for-5 eventually?
I look at the reality is, what's common and about and easy and what is divided with the schools. Why are some schools opting in and some schools opting out, right? So, I think the commonality between all of the Power Five conferences is the health and safety of their kids. Mm-hmm. And I think they're all highly disappointed because they know, ideally we all want to see football. Everybody says there's no one who wants to see it more than me, but I got a lot of skin in the game. So, mm-hmm. So I think that both the decision to play or not to play or the likelihood of bringing, kids on to play is catastrophic. It could have catastrophic results. I mean, take Texas, right? If they don't play, if the Big 12 doesn't play, I mean, I'm really bad at math, but I mean, I think the revenue for the athletic department is like somewhere around like $20 million, and I think about 150 of that comes from football. So if they don't play, that's 70% of their income. That puts them at about that's $137 million in the hole. I mean, so you have schools like Utah, like Mark Harlan, who's amazing at saying, you know, they're going to take a hit from football, like right. $50 million. So there's, whether it's the fiscal sides, right, or the health and safety, I think they all recognize that it's not a good deal, right? But I think the divide comes from, like, for the SEC, who, you know, it's haves and have nots. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, we're going to test two times a week during competition. We may have a third test and rapid results. You know, they can fly private. You know, are they testing their airline pilots? What do they do when a kid gets a fever on the road of 104? Do they life flight them home? You know, they have the ability to clean their facilities with like electrostatic backpacks and these fancy bipolarization technology that go in their, you know, HVAC unit. So there's it's the haves and the have nots. I mean, I talked to someone in the SEC today, a coach who just said, you know, this is different. This is the SEC. You know, they'll find the money to play. And I mean, if you look at the NFL and you look at the NBA, they're testing every single day. Like, right. I mean, I don't know how you do that cost wise in the Power Five. I just don't. And then for every kid who gets positive tests, you've got to now put them through these special MRIs for the myocarditis. And those are $4,000 a pop. I mean, there's just so many risks and unknowns about this virus that we should all be mad at the virus. Like, right. Don't be mad at the AD. Don't be mad at the president. Don't be mad at the commissioner.
Don't be mad at the doctors.
Don't be mad at the doctors, right? Like, they don't want to call. Nobody wants to call it a season, right? And then everybody who's playing, you know, are they going to be liable? In 2025, are we going to see a commercial that says, you know, hey, are you obese? Do you have diabetes? Does your heart beat too much? Do you have shortness of breath? Did you play football in 2020? You may have myocarditis. Call this number.
Right.
You know, I mean, you have to think about health and safety first, which I think is what they're all doing, liability, and then what do we do to mitigate risk, and how do we do that safely? So, you know, we shall see whether all the dominoes fall. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and that's the whole thing. And, you know, I think one of the puzzling things that, you know, that we've all talked about is, you know, how is it, you know, why is the information different in different parts of the country? And you know, it's stunning to me that nobody was able to pull it together and say we all should be listening to the same people,
right?
And figuring it out that way.
Well, there are guidelines, right? So every conference, I mean, I'm on Zoom calls with conferences. I'm on Zoom calls with coaches. I'm on Zoom calls with the parents of players. I'm on Zoom calls with the medical teams. I'm on Zoom calls with task force. And there are very universal standards, because I have 20 pages of Q&A for, you know, athletic directors or institution presidents that, you know, okay, well, what are you doing to clean that? Or how are we traveling this? And in the testing, you know, is, you know, there's certain things they're all following. So I agree with you that, you know, but there's CDC guidelines, right? Even the NFL. Okay, so take the NFL today. You know, I think that they came out and informed all the clubs that they needed to test every single day, tier one and tier two personnel, and for the first 2 weeks of training camp. And it had to be less than 1% positive to continue. So how do you do that in college athletics without a bubble? And they're really, like, even, I mean, there's no real bubble when you have students, right? They're students. They're not professional athletes. It's not like, you know, the Ultimate Fighting Championship where Dana White like went and bought a island in Abu Dhabi. No, he did. He bought an island.
Oh, I know.
Like,
I mean, that just cracks me up.
He was like, what are we going to do? And he's like, and everybody thinks he's crazy. And he's like, let's buy an island. And, you know, and it becomes Fight Island. Like, that is a real bubble.
Yeah.
Like, NFL players go and NBA players go home to their wives. They stay in a bubble. They understand, you know, and these are kids that, like, you know, on multiple calls, we've called it the year of the house party.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to see the fraternity parties and sorority parties, and you're not going to have the bars open. But so it's going to be the year of the house party. And so, you know, it's just, it's just tough for, I mean, my heart just breaks for so many of these stakeholders that are getting, you know, arrows shot
right,
at them.
Right.
Right.
Gary, exactly.
Gary, thanks a bunch for joining us.
Gary, that was some great insight right there. We do really appreciate it. It's just been a nutty time, and it's sure a nutty time for you, and I think you're probably going to be a little busier for a while.
Oh, well, the good Lord willing and the creek don't rise, as my grandma used to say. So y'all bear down.
All right. Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks so much, Carrie.
Have a great weekend and keep supporting our cat.
And great, give our best you. To your husband, whoever
oh,
he is.
Of course. I'm going to go in and give him a big kiss. He just I will. Well,
thanks a bunch.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank y'all.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to our show today. For Jay and Steve, we'll be back tomorrow.
We'll see you.